This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
On the 22nd of October 2024, the world was about to experience a life-changing lesson in aqidah, in belief, in thabat, steadfastness, in stubbornness, in resilience, defiance in the face of oppression, reliance upon Allah Almighty. What is amazing is that this lesson was not delivered by some big-time sheikh. It wasn't on a podium of some sort, nor was it delivered from the depths of a book authored by a scholar. This lesson would be delivered by a simple middle-aged lady by the name of May, one of the many women who had her home bombed in Gaza, and a 60-second video, that's all it was, went viral. The moment when they arrived, they pulled her out from the rubble, and the conversation that happened between her and those young paramedics who saved her. In those 60 seconds, May was a teacher to scholars. May was the educator of educators. May taught us timeless lessons of life that cannot be ignored, that deserve pause, reflection, tears, application, and appreciation. During those 60 seconds when May spoke, it was almost as if angels were inspiring her to say the right thing, the most beautiful and appropriate and decorated thing. So allow me in these next few minutes this evening to share with you some of what she said, and I have put it for you under six simple headings that I hope you will take note of, and more importantly, I hope you will take home and strive to convert this case study into a living application in your life. Number one, May taught us the value of haya, healthy shame, in the life of the Muslim man and Muslim woman. You will notice when they were pulling her out from the rubble that May was dressed in her full Islamic hijab, as though she was praying. I thought to myself, there's only one of two options why a woman would be wearing her hijab in her own home when she doesn't need to. Either she was in a state of salah, praying. When bombs were falling all around her, she was in salah. Or either, like many of the other Ghazan women that we have seen, she was preempting this situation where her house would come tumbling down. And so when strange men would arrive at the scene, she wanted to be seen in a way that was pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regardless of which of the two it was, we are in awe and we can only admire May. At a time when some of our sisters, some of our mothers, some of our daughters, some of our righteous woman folk are perhaps rethinking the hijab, reconsidering the hijab, perhaps removing it because of pressure of friends or social media or work expectations or the never-ending and ever-devolving isms of society, they can't make up their mind as per what they want from us. May was also under a lot of pressure. Pressure of slabs of concrete, because when her home was decked, May found herself wedged between the floor and the ceiling of her home. For how long? For 5 consecutive days. No food, no drink, and not even an inch of space to move for 5 days. Somehow Allah allowed her to survive. Yet there she was, wedged in the 40-centimeter slabs of concrete on her fragile, vulnerable, feminine body. And she was in her full Islamic hijab. Take that for pressure. And that is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith that we should remember from time to time because the implications are so severe. He said, صِنْفَانِ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ لَمْ أَرَهُمَا. There are two categories of people who will go to hell, but I've never seen them with my own eyes in my life. The first category, قَوْمٌ مَعَهُمْ صِيَاطٌ كَأَذْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ يَضْرِبُونَ بِهَا النَّاسِ. The first was a group of people who were carrying in their hands whips that looked like the tails of cows, and they were torturing people with them. Have we not seen this? He said, and as for the second category, نِسَاءٌ كَاسِيَاتٌ عَارِيَاتٌ. Women who are clothed but unclothed. مُمِيلَاتٌ مَائِلَاتٌ. They deviate in their walk and they cause hearts to deviate as well. رُؤُوسُهُنَّ كَأَسْنِمَةِ الْبُخْتِ الْمَائِلَةِ. Their heads look like the swaying humps of camels. لَا يَدْخُلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ. They will never enter paradise. وَلَا يَجِدْنَا رِيحَهَا. And they will never even smell its fragrance. وَإِنَّ رِيحَهَا لَتُوجَدُ مِنْ مَسِيرَةِ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَكَذَا. Although the smell of Jannah can be perceived from very far distances. So there she was, May teaching us a lesson in haya. Even in the most difficult circumstances, she did not compromise her hijab despite the physical pressure of concrete on her vulnerable body. If that amazes you, there is more. As they were pulling her out from the debris of her home, you will see that she says to them in her simple Palestinian dialect, she said, "Aglib hali ahsan." She said, "Can you turn me over, please? I don't want to be pulled out face down. This is not appropriate. Can you turn me over and pull me out face up so that it is my face that is in your reception, not a different part of my body?" Allahu Akbar. Who thinks of these meanings when you are in this situation? Except a man or a woman of true haya, healthy shame. May she recognize that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna li kulli dinin khuluqa wa khuluqul islami al haya." He said, every religion has a defining characteristic. Every religion has a signature trait. He said, and our signature trait as Muslims is the characteristic of haya, healthy shame. And the companion Qurrat ibn Iyas, he said, we were sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a gathering, and somebody asked the question, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, al haya'u min ad-deen, is haya part of the religion?" He said, "Al haya'u huwa ad-deen kulluhu." He said, haya, healthy shame, is the entirety of the religion. You will say, how come the whole religion is encapsulated in this trait of haya? I say, because if you and I have haya of Allah Almighty, we will pray. We will be too shy to be seen by Him missing a salah. If we have haya, we will wear the full Islamic hijab. If we have haya, we will lower our gaze. We will restrain our prohibited desires. We will limit our flirtatious behavior with strangers. We will not engage in riba. We will not smoke. We will not take shisha. We will not engage in riba. All of these things and more we will do if we have haya. So he said, al-haya is the entirety of the religion. وَالْحَيَاءُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِيمَانُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, haya, healthy shame, is part of iman, and iman is in paradise. This was the first message that May taught us from beneath the rubble. The value of haya in the life of a Muslim man and woman. The second message May taught us was the importance of being a person of hamd, praise of Allah Almighty, irrespective of your circumstances, how good or bad it may be. They said to her, "Are you okay?" Are you injured? She said, لا الحمد لله جروح بسيطة. She said, no, I'm not injured. Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah. I just have some minor injuries. وله الحمد في الأولى والآخرة, Allah said. To him belongs the praise in the beginning and in the end. She said, no. Alhamdulillah, how did she pull off? Praise to Allah Almighty in this difficult circumstance. Because she was a woman, inshallah, who used to praise Allah when she was healthy. So Allah enabled her and inspired her to praise Him when she was in a dark hour. Just as Allah Almighty wants you and I to praise Him when we're healthy, strong, and happy, and our relationships are well, Allah Almighty also wants you to praise Him when you're down, when you're upset, when you're ill, when you're poor, and when your relationships are strained. Alhamdulillah. In all circumstances, this was the second message taught to us by May, the importance of showing hamd, praise to Allah, irrespective of how dark your hour may be. The third message that May taught us from the six that I will share with you is the importance of being a man and woman of gratitude to people. What happened with May? When she was in the ambulance, you can hear her saying, Allah يكثر من أمثالكم والله ما في حد زيكم. She said to the young men around her, may Allah Almighty increase the righteous people who resemble you. No one can be compared to you, she said to them. Despite her exhausted, dehydrated, fatigued, and injured body, she found it in her to recognize that those around her were working around the clock, sometimes with no qualifications, with their bare hands, no heavy machinery, to cut through iron and the debris and rubble and concrete. With no wage, working free of charge, she recognized that. She said, may Allah reward you. May Allah multiply the people who resemble you. No one can be compared to you. She had heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس. He who does not show gratitude to Allah, he who does not show gratitude to people, has not shown gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your parents, show them gratitude. Beware of thinking in an arrogant way that somehow you can outgrow them. Show them gratitude with your words, gratitude with your gifts, gratitude with your calls and messages and visits, gratitude with your smile and patience and service. Show them gratitude with your apologies and tears and kisses. Your parents, your spouse, show her gratitude. Your spouse, show him gratitude for their sacrifice. Though you may feel they could be doing better, show them gratitude and Allah will inspire him or her to do better. Show gratitude. Your teachers, who may have taught you something you didn't know, who showed you the ropes in life, beware of that arrogant sense of entitlement, thinking you can outgrow him or her. That's your teacher who taught you something you didn't know. Consider yourself ever indebted till the day you meet Allah Almighty. Anyone who has served you in any part of your life, helped you remove yourself from a hardship, consider yourself indebted till the day you meet Allah Almighty. May taught us that you are to show gratitude. We are to show gratitude even if you are staring death in the eyes. This is the third message that May was communicating to the world in that 60-second video, La ilaha illallah. Who taught her? Allahu Akbar. The fourth message May taught us was the value, the importance of being well-mannered when speaking about Allah. Something we may fall short on when we're going through a tough time. Where is Allah Almighty, we may ask? They said to me, who was with you in the house? She said, my mum. They said to her, is she alive? She said, no, she's next to me, she passed away. They said to her, Ya'ni Shahida. So she's a martyr. What did she say? One word. She said, Insha'Allah. If Allah wills. I don't know if she's a martyr. If Allah wills, I hope. Sometimes we get excited when talking about our martyrs and we say, so-and-so is a martyr. Fulanun al-shaheed, so-and-so the martyr. Fulanun al-maghfur lahu, so-and-so who has been forgiven by Allah. We don't know. The signs are there. We hope that they are martyrs. We hope that Allah has forgiven them. But we cannot make that assertion. May she said, Insha'Allah, my mother was a martyr. And that is why it is narrated, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُتَأَلِّينَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Woe to those who make assumptions about the will of Allah. يَقُولُونَ فُلَانٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفُلَانٌ فِي النَّارِ. Those who boldly say, this person is in paradise and this person is in hell. May taught us in her message number 4, be well-mannered when speaking about Allah Almighty. The 5th of those messages before I round up with the 6th, May taught us that Allah Almighty will give you support and good news during your darkest hour in life. They said to me, how long were you beneath the rubble trapped? She said, 5 days. They said to her, يعني شفت الليل والنهار. Meaning, that means, they said to her jokingly, you saw back-to-back days and nights. She said, listen to these words. مَلَائِكَ إِجَتْ أُنَوَّرَتْ عَلَيْهِ. She said, no, angels, they came by my side and they illuminated the space. Watch the video. She said, no, the angels, they came and they lit up the space for me. The message is that Allah Almighty will support you as individuals during your darkest hour and will give you good news and will support the ummah during its darkest hour when we thought it couldn't get any worse for us there in Palestine. A seemingly hopeless cause, some may have described it. And then 11 days, the neighboring country of Syria's regime comes crashing down and it is returned to the people of Syria. Allah Almighty, He said, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Truly, for the allies of Allah, may Allah make us amongst them. For the allies of Allah, there is no fear for them, and they shall not grieve. Who are they? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believed in Allah Almighty, and those who feared Him. Listen. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. For them is the good news in this life and the hereafter. For them is the good news in this life and in the hereafter. Ya Rabbi, give us the good news. Ya Rabbi, give us the good news. Is it a difficult moment you're experiencing in your life? Hold on. Have hopes in Allah Almighty. Be patient. Don't allow it to tarnish your religion. Allah will send you the good news. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ. Know that victory is with patience. وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ. And that what follows hardship is relief. وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And with difficulty comes ease. Message 5, may she taught us that in your darkest hour, Allah Almighty will send you the good news. The 6th and final message I share with you, may taught us the value of حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ. Expecting the very best from Allah Almighty and assuming what is finest. She said to the paramedics around her in the video, وَاللَّهِ كُنْتْ عَارْفِهِ إِنْكُمْ رَحْ تِيجُوا وَكُنْتْ عَارْفِهِ إِنْكُمْ مُشْ رَحْ تَقَصُرُوا. She said, وَاللَّهِ I was certain that you would arrive and find me, and I was certain that none of you would fall short.
I was certain.
How was she able to pull off that certainty, that yaqeen? With everything in terms of circumstances around her? How was she able to pull off and muster up this certainty in Allah Almighty with everything against her? Because she had the best of expectations of Allah Almighty. She did not think bad of Him. Like the poet, he said, Ya Rabbi li dhannun jameelun waafiru. My Lord, I hold a beautiful and an abundant expectation in You. قَدَّمْتُهُ أَمْشِي بِهِ يَسْعَى مَعِي. A hope that I present, it walks with me every step of the way. كُلُّ الَّذِي يَرْجُونَ فَضْلَكَ أُمْطِرُوا. My Lord, all those who wanted rain were showered by You. حَشَاكَ أَنْ يَبْقَى حَشِيمًا مَرْبَعِي. So it is impossible that You would then leave my land to remain dry. فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. What is your expectation, the Quran asks? What is your expectation of Allah Almighty, the Lord of the worlds? May, she said, kunit arfi, I was certain. When was the last time you used those same words when talking about Palestine and Gaza and Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa? I am certain. Let them do what they do. I am certain. Sudan, I am certain. The Uyghurs, I am certain. Syria, I am certain. Echoing the words of Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam, who said to his children, Alam aqul lakum inni a'lamu min Allahi ma la ta'lamun. Did I not say to you, O my kids, that I know of Allah Almighty that which you do not know? And there he was, standing outside of the gates of Mecca, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not knowing how he was going to go back inside. He wasn't supposed to leave Mecca to give da'wah, but he did so secretly. How is he going to go back inside? He's lost his wife, he's lost his uncle, he's losing his companions, they are persecuting him. And Zayd, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how are you going to get back into Mecca? What are we going to do? We weren't even supposed to leave. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said words that I want you to etch in your heart, especially today. He said to him, Ya Zayd, O Zayd, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَاعِلٌ لِمَا تَرَى فَرَجًا وَمَخْرَجًا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ نَاصِرٌ دِينَهُ وَمُظْهِرٌ نَبِيَّهُ. Zayd, Allah is going to provide a relief from the difficulty that you see. And Allah is going to give victory to the religion, and He's going to allow His Prophet to prevail. Don't ask me how, but I am certain. May, she said, كنت عارفة, I was certain. This is the sixth message of May, who said to us, harbor the finest of expectations to Allah. Beware of ever doubting Him or thinking ill of Him, despite what you may see in your field of cruelty, your feed of cruelty and freezing children and limbs that are torn off. Beware of assuming anything but the finest of Allah Almighty. Our ummah, my brothers and sisters, and my time is up. Our ummah is beloved to Allah Almighty. And our ummah is the role model ummah for the rest of the nations of the world. We are the ones who've been entrusted with the mantle of leadership. No one will lead but us. A justice-based leadership in an ill and depraved world. This is our role and Allah's expectation from us. So we will be placed into the furnace of life and battered with iron and then taken back out, then pushed back into the oven, battered with irons and then taken back out. And admittedly, some of us will crumble during that horrific process, but others will emerge refined, polished, pristine, stronger than ever before, irresistible, and able now to assume their position of leadership that Allah intends for us. So beware of mischaracterizing the suffering of ummah as being anything but a display of Allah's mercy upon us. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Ummati hadhihi marhuma, this nation of mine is treated with mercy by Allah. This nation of mine is treated with mercy by Allah. لَيْسَ عَلَيْهَا عَذَابٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ It's not going to suffer in the hereafter. عَذَابُهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا الْفِتَانُ وَالزَّلَازِلُ وَالْقَتْلُ All of its suffering will be hurried for it in the life of this world by way of tests and earthquakes and killing. So beware of misinterpreting and mischaracterizing any of the bloodshed that you may see today as being anything but as a display of mercy from Allah and a preparation for leadership. This is our qadr. This is what Allah Almighty has decreed for us. And we announce in this evening, in this city, in this blessed gathering, that we are content with the decree of Allah Almighty. Ya Allah, on behalf of all of the thousands here in front of me, all 15,000 of them, that if it means that our suffering today, O Allah Almighty, is that you will erase our sins, and you will expose our hypocrites, and you will purify our conduct, and you will prepare us for leadership, and you will restore our land, and you will give us no suffering in the hereafter, and above this all you will be pleased. Then come what may, Ya Allah, we are pleased with your decree. May taught us six lessons. I summarize them and I remind you, lesson number one, May taught us the value of haya, healthy shame in our life. Message number two, May taught us the importance of hamd, thanks, praise of Allah Almighty in all circumstances. Message number three, she taught us gratitude to people, irrespective of your circumstance. Message number four, to be of adab, good manners when speaking about Allah Almighty. Message number five, good news will come to you during your darkest hour. And message number six, think well of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين